2, see you as the end and the beginning. You carry me and you go before. You are the journey and the journey's end. Amen. Amen. I was 8 years old, and I had no aunts. I have one aunt, and she's my godmother. But most of the time, I spent my life around my uncles. And one time, during a barbecue and a day like today, I sat next to my grandmother, and I said, "So, Grandma, you know, who's your favorite? Is it Uncle Tom, or is it Uncle Harry, or is it Uncle Joe, or Uncle Stephen?" And she looked at me and she goes, "Yeah, picking a favorite is like picking which disease you're going to die from." We come from a very colorful family. And kind of rivaling the same narrative story that we're hearing in Genesis, this whole thing about Abraham and Sarah and Hagar and Ishmael and Rebecca and Isaac and Jacob, and then don't get me started on Jacob and his wives and, you know, the concubines and the 12 tribes and who's related to who, and, you know, it makes family barbecues really, really complicated. But today we hear a interesting thing. He was born with a hairy mantle. Can you imagine, ladies who have given birth, can you imagine that? I mean, that would be like the most excruciating. Not only do you have two twins struggling in your womb, but one comes out like dressed in a mohair pajama. Yuck. And he's all red. Our son was born, he had a liver malfunction, and the bilirubin was really, really high, and his entire body was like the color of your sweater. I mean, it's like really, really bright red. He has a liver malfunction, so they call him Esau. Because he's hairy and red. Esau means the one who is hairy and red. Oh, there's one. And then Jacob, the second one, is born at the same time, but he's grabbing a hold of Esau's heel, and therefore he is called Jacob. Yaakov, I grab by the heel. I have to confess something to you. One of my favorite movies of all time is Pulp Fiction. And when he's in the cab, he says, "Esmeralda Villalobos, what is that, Mexican?" And she goes, no, the name is Spanish, but, you know, I'm from Colombia. And she goes, "What's your name?" He says, "Well, my name is Butch." He goes, "Butch, Butch, what does that mean?" He goes, "I'm an American, honey. Our names don't mean anything." I cleaned it up a little. Imagine being named for the way that you were born. How many of us would be able to walk walk the earth and hold our heads up high, you know, it being judged by how we were born and how we lived and who our parents were and what our lives were supposed to be like? So it comes down to the parable of the sower. It really does. How many of you are farmers? Yeah, I thought so. What do farmers do? They till the soil, they plant the seed, and they, you know, wait for the corn to grow, and then they, you know, shuck it and sell it to Monsanto, and off we go. A farmer's life A farmer's money is basically the seed that he puts into the ground. A farmer is really, really careful about where he puts the seed. You don't throw it on the sidewalk. It's a waste of money, hard-earned money. You don't put it in a weed patch. You put it in a place that's very well prepared and you want the seed to grow and you want the seed to flourish. You don't throw it on rocks and stones. What then are we to make about Esau and Jacob? And what then are we to make about the parable of the sower? Now, I've been a priest for a long time, and I preached the sermon 12 times, so bear with me. It's not about the abundance of God. I'm gonna put that idea right out of your head right now. It's not that God throws his seed and his abundance and his worthiness and his grace everywhere, and no matter where it lands, there it goes. That's not the point. The point is, you are the ones who are the seed who has been planted on fertile ground. You are the ones who are expected to live into the kingdom of God. You are the ones, myself included, are expected to give forth to God 100-fold of the blessings that you've been given. It's not about judging Esau because he was hungry and Jacob saw his chance and saw a chance to steal something that was not his. I'm not even going to get into the Rebecca-Jacob thing because it's too complicated even for a family barbecue. And it's not about judging those whose seed has been on stony ground or in thorns or gets eaten up by birds. It's not about judgment. It's about helping those whose seed has been sowed into a place that we have not been sown into. It is about our blessing. And we do not give that blessing, we do not give that birthright away. No matter how hungry or upset or angry we become. Because we are here to further the kingdom of God, not to judge. I very rarely preach on Paul with good reason, but today it kind of rings true. If you rely on the flesh is your reward. If you rely on those things which are black and white and which can be nailed down, then that's your reward. But if you live by faith, if a seed planted on the soil grows and flourishes, it is your right, it is your responsibility to make sure that that plant yields 100-fold. It is not ours to judge when those who fail or those who go by the wayside or those who for whatever reason fall away from the faith. It's not ours to judge. It's ours to water, to fertilize, to care and to tend those who are faltering, and not to grab onto those things that we want, but to live and let live, to be those faithful people that God has called us to be, to flourish where we're planted, to be those faithful and fruitful people. In a couple of minutes, I'm going to say some words, and it's going to sound, I hope, familiar. Let us come not to this table for solace only and not for strength. Let us come to the table and be fed for strength and not just to feel good about who we are. Let us come to the table, be fed, and then go out into the world and to pluck up and to be the faithful and fruitful people that God has called us to be, so that we can bring in the harvest, so that we can be the faithful, fruitful people that God has called us into being. Yes, we can see every day the seed that has caused, been cast on stony ground, cast on thorns, and, you know, has withered through lack of faith. Is it ours to judge? No. It is never ours to judge. It is ours to nurture. It is ours to hold fast. It is ours to hold water and to give comfort. Because sometimes you never know the story about that seed. You never know who needs just a little bit of water so that their roots can hold deep and that they can be the fruitful people that God has called them to be. Let us not only flourish in ourselves, but let us look for those who need some water or some comfort or some food. And let us be, all of us together, not the judging, but the flourishing field of God. Amen.